Come, my lady, come, come, my lady, you're my butterfly.
Oh, is that in the song?
Does no.
He, oh, I was no. like, what? I don't even remember that.
But times have not been kind to that man. I just saw him on social media.
Who is that man?
I forget what the name of the band was, but it was a hit in the 2000s.
Early 2000s. It was in kind of all the clubs.
Yeah, and it sounded like 311 sort of reggae rap guitar. Anyways, that guy... I think he's a little rough around the edges. I don't know if he's been partying, but...
Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. Come, my lady,
if
come,
the
come,
name my... didn't give it away. Yeah. Come, my lady, come, come, my lady. You're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the lyrics right now.
He looks like a hardcore gangster now. I mean, he's just...
Really?
Time has not been kind to him. Okay.
Crazy. Okay.
Well.
Welcome back to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Katie.
I'm Sean.
And we're happy that you're here. And Roxy is getting a big old...
We should probably start over.
Who cares? She's just having a big old drink of water.
Okay.
I liked our intro. I don't want to redo it.
All right.
Say no. I say let her drink 5 gallons of water in the background. We have a gift. You're getting older and wiser. And aging like a fine wine.
Thank you. Boy, we wore our best patterns today, didn't we?
I like to be extra patterned.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you see me in mine or I see you in your whatever you're wearing, then we're like, I will do the same without realizing it subconsciously. Like Sean will be wearing a green shirt and we'll be going out to dinner and I'll come out with a green shirt on. I'm like, goddamn, go back, change.
I blame Zelensky, you know, the guy from Ukraine for the green shirts.
Oh, yeah. It's true. But we have a gift.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to? I just opened it from Amazon. Our Floridian correspondent has. This one cracks me up the most.
What am I looking at here? This is wrapped in plastic, and it looks like a.
Roxy's very interested in anything wrapped in plastic.
Get into this.
Rip it open. Looks like a pooper scooper.
Ah. Well, thank you.
It tells you in the bottom.
Oh, how to pick up dog poo without using your hands. This appeals to my germaphobe nature. Oh, look, it's very swank. The guy carrying it. And,
oh, see? So yeah. Then you don't remember the, you don't like, you're like, those bags.
Super
smell.
Cool. Well, I was not expecting this. Thank
very
you.
Very useful. It says, happy birthday, Sean. Enjoy, LOL.
Yeah.
From Christy. Christy M. from Florida.
Oh, wow. This is.
We will probably, we'll, to be truthful, Christy, he will use this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now that must hook into the green part. Oh, yeah. And then snap, snap. Oh. Wow.
Ah! Very cool. I am super into this.
That's awesome.
I'm going to use it every... Well, just
it's actually
it pick up the remote control
excuse
and...
Excuse me. Once it's touched the poopy, it's not coming back in the house.
Right. Roxy's very interested. Okay.
Okay. And then.
Thank you very much.
Gift How numero cool. dos.
Two.
Oh. From Christy also.
The West Florida Argonauts.
Ooh, Roxy Excellent even though. Likes it. She says, I'm a big fan.
Very, no, you can't do that. Very cool. A pennant.
Ooh.
What kind of sport is this? WWF. Oh, no. UWF. University of West Florida.
Yeah.
Argonauts.
That's
cool.
It's the university. Isn't that where she went to school?
I'm not sure.
I think it's possible. Yeah. We've got some West Floridian pride.
That's right.
The Argonauts. Isn't there a team in Canada called the Argonauts?
The Toronto Argonauts, I believe.
Oh, we'll have to work with getting this to sit up there, Christy. Roxy may chew it, but it's okay.
She's like, is this mine?
So anyway, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. That was very cool of you. I appreciate it. Another year older, another year wiser, and I feel great.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
About?
Your birthday.
No, I do not get excited about birthdays.
It's so funny. I already have a request for letters. To otdmpod@gmail.com, tell me if there's a fun way or interesting way that your family celebrated birthdays, or if you're like Sean, where you're like, we didn't really do that.
No, we did. We celebrated birthdays. I don't get excited about birthdays in general.
I find that so bizarre. But here's why. My family made it a big, big deal.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, who was very artistic, didn't get any of that in my, it's not in my blood. He would paint the outside of our window and say, happy birthday, Katie.
Uh-huh.
Howie did it backwards. So, because when you open your blinds, it'd be like, bah-pow. Or he would draw on the butcher paper and then put it on your door so that when you opened your door to get out, it'd be like, happy birthday.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, with like balloons or whatever. Then... Mm-hmm. Now we're synced. In sync. Anyway, my dad would do that and then... You got to pick what you wanted to eat the whole day. Mm. And everybody had to eat what, you know, like for dinner. My favorite meal back in the day. Sweet and sour chicken tenders, rice, and fried zucchini.
Cool. I did corned beef and cabbage. I love it. Yep. Mm-hmm. But that's because, you know, March 17 and all that.
Yeah, the Irish.
St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, Sean's birthday's on St. Patty's Day. We used to go out for your birthday, like to a bar and just like deal with the chaos.
Yeah.
Are we past that?
It would have to be a pretty special bar. You know, I don't like being jam-packed in, yeah. Especially these days. I don't know. I'm still getting over, you know, being in crowded spaces. Not like it's a big deal, mm-hmm. but I don't really want to be in a bar packed full of people talking this close.
True.
You know.
I could have gotten us reservations at Midnight Cowboy.
I have no idea what that is.
The secret bar on 6th Street.
Oh, right, right.
We went to that one time.
Yeah.
That's not very busy.
Yeah.
It's also South by, so I'm sure it's like fucking nutsos right now. Yeah, not that they let... Blah, blah, blah. Not that they let lots of people in. That was like a huddle. La, 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 la. I got caught in a loop. I was right.
The Matrix was glitching right in front of me.
Oh my God. I've been having glitches in my writing. So I'm doing The Artist's Way. I've told you guys that book. And every morning you're supposed to do morning pages. I'm not a morning person. So it starts off as morning pages and it ends up like afternoon pages. And I'm fine with it. But like I don't hand write things anymore. So it's almost like my... hand doesn't, it wants to go too fast.
Yes.
And so it ends up like, and then I'm like, I can't even read that. And I know what I wrote because I'm writing it currently.
Do you toggle between cursive and non-cursive?
Yes, always have though.
Okay.
Even within a word, like a W can't be cursive. That's too many loops and so it's like regular. And
then flowery.
Exactly. But let's say I was writing the word like weekly. Mm-hmm. The W would be like, burp, 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 like very rigid, like a, I don't know what you'd call it, non-cursive writing.
Yeah, what do they call that? See, this is how far removed I am from actually writing things. I can do it on a keyboard
non-cursive. And
I can look for handwritten fonts. But when it's this non-cursive.
This would be called Arial. I'm just kidding.
That's right. Can you imagine if you were so good? Roman. Some people, mm-hmm. their penmanship is so meticulous. And I admire that, you know, when they write very neatly and with it intent. And when I was in grammar school, there was a phase that I went through where I just wanted to have perfect handwriting. Uh-huh. It lasted for 1 year. After that, I was like a doctor, you know, like just flowing my script everywhere. But
you have great, I think you're, I mean, your penmanship's decent. Okay, somebody asked, what is non-cursive writing called? People just call it modern or print hand.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I don't know if that's really true.
Can you imagine if you were so good at-
block letterings.
Block lettering, there we go.
Yep.
But if you were able to emulate all sorts of different fonts.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Some people I'm sure can do typewriter, you know?
Yeah. My friend Megan Smalls, which her last name's not Smalls anymore, which is such a cool last name.
Because then you'd have to name your kid Biggie.
We used to, it was just her nickname.
Baby,
obviously.
Baby.
There were so many. Smalls is just a cute name, you know? But anyway, I forget her married name now. But she, Abels, I think. But she's a photographer. If you're in the Bay Area, I think she's great. You should look her up. But
sound the alarms. Attack.
Let me just check. Anyways, she has the best penmanship that looks like a font. And she can do, even my friend Liz, remember she did the little cards for our wedding for the tables?
See, that's the gift and the curse of exceptional penmanship. The cursive is if you, it's like much like owning a pickup truck. If you own one, inevitably people are going to come knocking and ask for favors. Like, hey, buddy, do you mind if you help me move that piano?
I know.
You're like, what?
I know. Yeah. People did that to you all the time when you had that truck.
Yeah.
It's funny. But yeah, so people who have really good penmanship get asked to do things a lot. And Megan, because she was in my sorority, she was a year older than me. She would do all the promo stuff and like help. She's also just super creative. And I don't know. Some people just have a gift and she totally has a gift for that. And she would like put together our posters and then she'd just be like, okay, color this in with these colors. I'm like, I got that. But I can't create it, but I can do what you tell me to do.
You imagine back in the day where you had to write with extreme intent because you had a bird feather and an ink.
You had a dip.
Quill. Is that what it's called?
You can quill? Quill.
Yeah. I played with
an ink pot.
A calligraphy pen a couple of times.
For us left-handers, terrible.
Oh, right.
Disaster.
You always know who's
you're like,
a lefty.
You're like, beautiful. Your hand just smushes it immediately.
Dear smear.
Mm-hmm. Me and Andy, so Andy Hamilton that I grew up with, he's also left-handed. We were the only two lefties in class. And we both had such a hard time. And so our teacher's only way to like help us was to either have us do it next to a three-ring binder so it hold your hand up, or you hold your hand up and you end up writing, which
I just, see people doing that one. That's a...
But just try. It's so hard.
Crampy McCrampers in your hand.
It's just not natural.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
If you were to go to Europe,
mm-hmm. I would love to go to Europe.
Driving on the other side of the road, mm-hmm. and if it's a stick shift, is this easier for a lefty?
I think in life, when you learn things with one hand, it's just easier with that hand. Mm-hmm. So maybe I could do it better with the left hand.
Maybe you're a race car driver in Europe.
They call me a regular Mariana Andretti. But I think the thing is with left-handed, right-handed, I would assume it'd be easier for me left-handed, but there are things that I do right-handed just because that's how I learned them and that's how I do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't know how to do it with my left hand because I won't. It's just like you being right-handed.
The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing.
It never does. Yeah. No, they don't talk to each other. Sneaky sneaks. But anyway, I remember we went to Australia, not that we had a stick shift or anything. I let you drive. That terrified me.
Oh, it terrified me too.
Remember, I was like, you're going to hit the curb. You're like, stop talking. So stressful.
Well, it was a roundabout.
We didn't hit the curb.
Were
it just,
everywhere.
It just scared me because I'm not used to being on that side of the car.
Right.
I don't know. It was just really fucking weird.
I was fine. It was so much easier once you got out of the city.
Well, and why do you turn blindly to the right from the left-hand lane? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And I was like in that, the death seat, we call it, like where someone could hit you. And I was like, oh my God, the light turned green. And we're like,
Doesn't seem like the best system. It's not very well thought out.
And people in our community said, oh, that's only in downtown like Sydney and Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, but it puts the passenger at serious risk.
It's also just weird to blindly turn.
Yeah.
Like turning left, at least you see, you know, like the
way
we do.
You're looking over your shoulder. This way you're looking around.
You're like,
in snowboarding, it's blindside.
Yeah, you would never go blindside.
No. Well, I mean, you do, but it's a little bit more advanced of a trick.
Well, yeah, because you can't see where you're going. Or if anybody's coming.
Oh, and the Canadian sticks the landing.
It's risky. Yeah. Risky business. But yeah, you did great. I was a little nervous in town. And then once we got out, we were fine on the Great Ocean Road.
Right.
That was so fun. That was such a perfect day.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. We should have got up earlier. Duncan.
We should have gone with them. We're just not morning people.
They got up
people.
4 hours before us to drive the coast. And I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. After you've seen about an hour of it.
Yeah, you're kind of over it.
Yeah. There's going to be even more scenic spots and other lookouts.
Well, they made it all the way to, what was that thing?
Germany.
No, the rock formation or something. It was like the little sisters or remember?
Oh, yeah. Three sisters.
Three sisters.
Three sisters and a little baby.
I think so. It was a movie. They
Steve
turned
Guttenberg.
It. There was an adaptation. No, I think it's the Three Sisters rock formation, but let me look it up. But they drove. They got up way earlier. No, that's the Three Sisters are in. Oh, yeah. That's not where we were, I don't think. It says Three Sisters is an unusual rock formation in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales. That's over by Sydney.
Boy, I got that one wrong.
Yeah.
You think you know a thing or two about Australia, you know, but I don't know anything. Speaking of which, mm-hmm. I came across a really cool article. I'll make it really quick, but 15 remote islands you can actually visit.
Mm.
And boy, when I tell you that some of these are very remote, it's pretty wild. I would like to visit some of
these. The 12 Apostles.
Oh.
That's what the rock formation is called.
And one Judas.
It's a spectacular formation of limestone sea stacks.
Ah.
It's out in Victoria. That's where we were.
Okay.
So, yeah, we did not make it all that way.
How did I make up the Three Sisters?
That is another rock formation.
I know, but
I don't know.
How would I know that one?
Hmm. It's outside Sedona in Utah, I think, the Three Sisters or something. I don't know.
Rapa Nui Chile, also known as Easter Island. I didn't know that you were allowed to visit it now. I didn't know.
I mean, I've seen people take pictures there. That's why I know.
I want to go.
Oh.
Get my photo with one of those giant
Is that where we want to go
heads.
For our
It's pretty far.
Our anniversary? Isn't it out towards Australia?
Well, it's 2,300 miles from the coast of Chile. So it's pretty...
Oh, it's down there and then...
Yeah, pretty far.
Wow.
Yep. Though its indigenous population saw a significant decline after colonization, they held onto their rich cultural traditions, and now there are about 3,000 people who still carry the Rapa Nui lineage.
Oh, that's cool. It's almost as big as my hometown.
There's just 3,000 of you in the world. Mm-hmm. We claim Easter Island. You're like, where's cool, the giant though. Rabbit? And
where do you fly into to get there, I wonder?
I think you fly into Rapa Nui.
Oh.
They've got a little airport.
Oh, and then do you take a boat over to Easter Island, I presume? Like a little ferry?
No, that is Easter Island, Rapa Nui.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It says travelers can visit the island on various cruise ships or by flying directly there with LATAM Airlines.
LATAM.
Next up, we have the Flores Islands, the Azores in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
That one's pretty awesome. I mean, there's some really... I'll put a link down below because sometimes the idea of just getting away from Wi-Fi, getting away from people, like how remote can you get these days when in such an you know, with Starlink and...
Yeah, like, right.
If you really want to get out there and not see anyone, where do you go?
So it's actually Chile.
Yes.
Owns it, or not owns it, but I guess
claims
part
it.
Of claims it. Yeah, what do you
protects
call it?
Protects it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mata Nui? Islote? Mata Nui?
Mm.
The Rano Cow, is there, they have a volcano?
Yeah.
Wow. It's not on my radar, really. But okay, so it's outside of Chile on the way to like Polynesia. So it's before... It's probably the same distance if we were to try to go to Australia from here.
Okay.
Because it's almost in the same line with Australia, but it's between Australia and South America. Do you know what I mean? We have to go like over and down to Australia.
Right. Yeah. You take a right in Albuquerque.
Exactly. And you need to hang a sharp left.
Yeah.
No. But see, it's over here.
Yeah. It's pretty far.
But then Australia is over here. So it's probably the same amount of distance because we have to go down to South America.
You should weigh that.
I don't know if what I'm saying even makes sense, but I feel like it'd be the same distance to Easter Island as it would be to Australia from
could
us.
Be. I'm not sure. Very far away.
So far.
I wonder what's going on there today. Can you imagine? Just
yeah.
You're there in a flash. There's all sorts of different really remote places though, and it's kind of cool. This is a great list. There's another place, Fernando de Noronha in Brazil. And that's...
I was wondering what the accent was all about.
270 miles off the coast of Brazil. There's islands there. Mm-hmm. That sounds quite remote. Mm-hmm. We also have Fogo Island in Canada. Fogo Island.
Fogo de Chao?
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
No.
Travelers seeking a low-key adventure should book a ticket to Fogo Island, the largest offshore island of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Oh.
Despite its size, it's home to just 2,700 full-time residents. Come hike
it
along.
It's freezing.
Yeah. Swampy, freezing, beautiful shoreline like this, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know if we'll keep this in the podcast or not. It's kind of boring.
Okay.
we'll pull this out.
Okay.
Ooh, everyone's doing their part in the war, you know, that's going on in
why would that be
Ukraine and
ooh.
Well, Latvia, I saw an article on Reuters News. Mm-hmm. Latvia is, so Germany is donating tanks. Mm-hmm. The Americans are financing one end of the war. It's quite complicated. But Latvia is donating drunk driver's cars to the Ukraine war effort. So if you get caught drunk driving in Latvia.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and your car is seized.
Oh, then they just give them to them?
I guess so.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Latvian vehicles.
I mean, that's fine. Who cares? Don't drink and drive, people.
The article says Latvia began seizing cars from heavily drunk drivers this year.
Oh.
So if you're moderately drunk, you probably won't have your car go to the war.
If you're just barely drunk, they won't get rid of your car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge deterrent.
But look, and as hundreds of vehicles began overfilling impound lots, what's going on in Latvia that they're drinking that much and driving?
Maybe they don't have Lyft or Uber.
I really think that, all jokes aside, Lyft and Uber have probably
saved
changed
lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
You think of like campaigns like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and how many people senselessly lost their lives.
Yeah.
But,
well, I grew up in a really small community in general, and we have like one Uber and one Lyft there now.
Mm.
And you had taxis, but you have to like wait forever. It takes about a half an hour because you were rural, right? So like to get, if they're in another part of the town, you know, people in the city are like, what were they like on the other side? Yeah, but there's no traffic. It's just like miles and miles and miles and miles. Mm-hmm. It's hard. And therefore, if you're drinking, it's like too much work. You know what I mean? People won't do it because it takes too long. Like, I want to go, or the bar is closed. What am I going to sit out here for half an hour? People just don't do it.
Right.
They're not in their right mind. They're just not thinking clearly.
Jump in their car and go.
But with Lyft and Uber, I mean, it's so easy.
The convenience. It's frictionless almost of ordering a vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's already got your money. You don't have to have cash. Like with the taxi, sometimes you want to have cash on you. And honestly, who carries cash anymore? I do, because you just never know. I always have like a $20 like hidden in my wallet somewhere, because sometimes you'll need it. Well, just emergency funds.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you need that and for parking or tipping or something.
Soon there's going to be driverless cars.
Remember? Yeah.
And that's crazy. A great idea, right? If you had a fleet of 10 of those in a small town, well, not 10, but like, maybe there's just a couple.
Like that three?
They're automated vehicles that will pick you up. It's like back in the day where they put the drunk person on the horse.
Yep.
Tap the horse on the butt and the horse.
Send them home.
Take the person home.
Take me home tonight. That's what they said. No, but it has saved a lot of lives, I'm sure. I mean, if we're ever going out and we know that we'll have a drink, we always take a Lyft or Uber, and it's so easy. It is a cost, though.
We went to a microbrewery on the weekend just to check it out, see what's happening. And I thought it was really interesting that they have a microbrewers association fund.
There's a ton of them.
No, that's going into...
Oh, for Lyft.
Yes, exactly. They have like a hashtag or something, and that's your discount code.
Yeah, it was like Texas Brews or something. Mm-hmm. You get a free ride home.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I know, I thought that was great too. And I didn't realize outside of Austin and in Austin proper, well, right now it's South by, so Sean and I are not going into Austin because that's a shit show. But just on the outskirts, there's tons of different breweries.
Yeah, there's a ton
distilleries
in Austin itself. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fun.
I always think, it's got to be oversaturated, you know? There's too much.
There were so many people. We were like way outside of Austin, you guys, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And it was like a small town, little brewery. And by 5:30, so we got there at like, 3:30, 4 with Roxy, because we wanted to take her with us so she wouldn't have to be at home. Anyway.
She's a brew dog.
She's a brew dog. And everybody loved her and she loved everybody. By 5:30 when we left, it was like jamming. I was like, wow. It just surprised me, to be honest. Because when we showed up, there's like, 6 picnic tables maybe and a little pizza food truck. And we didn't really feel like pizza. That's why we moved on. But... it was jamming. There were no seats. It was all full. And when we were checking out, I talked to the guy at the front. I was like, we'll definitely be back. And he's like, people say that all the time. Make sure you come back. And I said, I'm glad you guys are so busy. He's like, this is nothing. He's like, we have like 10 other tables. And
you should see Disco Night.
Well, he said like for Oktoberfest, they have like these two really long tables they pull out. Mm. I was like, oh, wow. He's like, yeah, we take over this whole chunk of the parking lot. I was like, wow. But it was nice.
Yep.
People it's also like 90 beer. Degrees out.
People like drinking beer.
People do love a good brewski.
A lot of ladies.
I had a shandy. It was delicious.
Nice.
Nice.
All right. Well, listen, I think we have to get into the letters sooner rather than later.
Why don't you tell us about your pooper scooper? Did you tell us how to use it? Living Express. Pooper scooper for pets.
Right. So the gift, it's fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... I never
it's actually really well made.
I never look at instructions on how to assemble something. I like to try and figure out how is it made, why is it made, and that one was pretty easy. I saw how to put it together.
Yeah, Sean doesn't read instructions first.
No, but should you choose to, there are instructions, and I have them here.
Tell us how. Teach us.
Set up instructions before instructions, or no, before installation. So they show you all the loose pieces.
Gotcha.
And then they give you 2 steps. So I was able to crack the code.
Perfect.
I did it myself. I didn't need
those 2 steps.
And then it says successful installation.
Mm.
Hi.
Installation.
Comma. Our customer. Comma. So hi, our customer. I'm glad you get your new pooper scooper now. And thank you for your support. Meanwhile, your good shopping experience is always our pursuit and goal. If it works, great. Could you please leave your shopping experience on our product listing to share with others? Deeply grateful. If you're not satisfied, please email us first and we'll do whatever it takes to make you happy.
Mm.
Living Express is always here to welcome you. Sincerely, Living Express.
Thanks, Living Express.
So clearly, Living Express is probably from somewhere else. The English is slightly different, but you get the gist of it. And
I find language so interesting because there's a couple pieces that are strange, like where it says, I'm glad you get your new, like not glad you got it.
Yeah.
Glad you get, and thank you for your support. Meanwhile. But it's because I would assume it's from China, would just be my guess. And something about like Chinese language, that must be how they put things together. It's like when I'm learning Spanish and it's, you don't say, that's such a pretty girl. You say, that's such a girl pretty. It's just the way that you flip flop. And so they must have something like that. And I think find that really interesting. And it reminds me, so my friend Mamrie Hart used to, I don't know if she creates on YouTube anymore, to be honest. But on her channel, she used to do these $10 haul, y'alls. And they were my favorite thing ever. And she'd go to the dollar store with $10 and get whatever she could and then tell you about it. And the instructions for, I want to say it was like a candle or something to make your room smell nice, like an diffuser.
Yes.
Were so ridiculous. It essentially told her that it could kill her, but it will smell good and you're welcome.
Your death will be a fruitful event.
Because it was like the warnings, you know, but it didn't translate properly. I'll give Sean the link to that video so he can put it so you all can enjoy the ridiculousness of this. And one of them was like, I want to say it was like white lipstick. There's all sorts of things she gets that are like really bad and toxic, and the instructions are even more hilarious. And anyway, I enjoyed $10 hauls.
I remember there was a manual my father had told me about for a motorcycle in the 1960s. In the 1960s, a lot of Japanese motorcycles were showing up. You know, Hondas, they were smaller displacement, fun to ride. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a biker bike, you know, it was a cute little runabout sort of deal. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say cute, but you know, they were
smaller.
It was the same thing, right? The Japanese market, they're translating their literature mm-hmm. for the American market. And my dad said, oh, there was a diagram of a motorcycle and it's lying down and there's like a puddle next to it. And it says, beware of the evil skid monkey. Therein lies the fall. Like, yeah, I guess that does make sense. You know,
it's essentially like look out for oil on the road.
I think so. Water? Or slick mm-hmm. surfaces. But beware skid of the monkey. Evil skid monkey. Therein lies the fall. Thanks,
and
Honda.
Therein.
Yeah.
It's like
great English. Diddly-doo, therein lies the fall.
It reminds me of Inglourious Basterds when he's like, I don't speak any Italian. He's like, that's why you're second best. Yeah. You know, like when you look around at whoever works with you and you're like, you're going to do the translations. And they're like, but I only speak a little English. And they're like, you're our best.
We had.
Therein lies the fall.
Exactly. At one point when I was living in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. we were selling asphalt maintenance machinery to China. We had to put together some basic literature for them. And
you need to have a native speaker do it you can't put it into Google Translate. I assume that's what happened with your pooper scooper.
Yeah.
Because even when I translate, sometimes I'll check myself when I'm thinking to, like, I want to speak Spanish and I want to run I think this is how I'd say it. And then I'll put it in. And it comes out not right. I know it's not right, but it helps me check my verbs and the way that I've conjugated them.
Mm. I wonder if ChatGPT can take care of that, if it's a better translator than Google Translate.
I have no idea. I don't know how to use that, and I haven't used it, and it kind of scares me.
Mm. I asked it to make a recipe yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, give me a recipe for the barbecue, and here are the ingredients.
And did it?
Not for the barbecue, I'm sorry, for the grilling experience to produce a barbecued chicken. Yeah, it gave me, I said, here are my ingredients, and then it came back in it.
But you gave it ingredients, so it didn't just come up with a recipe.
No, but it helped me. Mm-hmm. It's a helper, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's what these artificial intelligence are.
They're, I mean, I don't have a, I know people are like, oh, they're taking over. That's not what I think about it.
Jesus, it's take the wheel. Weird. And Jesus, like, the name.
ChatGPT, take the wheel.
Jesus, PT.
Oh my God. Yeah. So it helped you.
It did. It was cool. I'm learning to work with the robots.
I thought it tasted like your regular barbecue chicken.
Well, it's because I had the same ingredients. I didn't give it too many wild parameters.
It wasn't really inventive. Yeah. It just told you how much.
Yeah. Mm. It gave me, amounts because I told it how much chicken I had. Wow. This is compelling talk.
Can Welcome I get into the letters?
Sure.
Are you done with your ChatGPT talk? Yep, your chicken GPT talk? Okay, let's get into the letters. We have one from Tina from Delaware.
Hello.
Hi, Tina. It says, hey, I am responding to your school bus episode. Here in Delaware, the quote-unquote city bus is called a dart bus. My 9-year-old has always called them the dark bus because the windows are tinted. Huh. That's too cute. As for school, we have what they call school choice. You can choice to any school in your district, but parents had to drive. We do have many other districts and you can choice, but it's more difficult to get in. We also have a lot of charter schools, which are more difficult to get into, and they go off of a lottery system. Hmm. Interesting. It's interesting how they all navigate, because it's a lot of work. So random factoid about me. My Aunt Rhonda runs like the bus system in, I don't know if it's how many school districts or if it's just the school district that I grew up in, but I think she's actually even more north from where I went to school. But anyways, neither here nor there. They have a bus driver shortage. And I looked it up and it's like nationwide.
Hmm.
I know that in Austin, they have a bus driver shortage too, because I've seen signs.
Is this due to people retiring?
I have no idea.
Or was it because schools were shut down?
It could be, and they were laid off or something, and now they haven't. That's like, we have pilot shortages. People are like, how do we have pilot shortages? I'm like, dude, you grounded planes for how long? And then the trainings couldn't happen. So even though they've opened back up, some people went and looked for other work.
Right.
And others who would have been trained to replace the ones that retired aren't there. So we have this like, this hiccup. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll probably take us like 10 years to kind of get out of it.
Repercussions of of some of these things are being revealed now, right?
Yeah.
Some of the shutdowns have produced some odd.
Essentially like all of 2020. So I think until 2030, we'll still have some of these weird, like, you know, gaps and issues, which I know sounds like dramatic, but I just think that will take a while for us to kind of like, I don't know, train more people. But so my, what I was getting at is my Aunt Rhonda has been driving the buses. She's like the big, big boss. She's been working at this for like, I don't know how many years, and she's worked her way up, but she's back to driving the buses again. Mm. And she was like, those kids got to get to school. I was like, it's true, but man.
I love the bus driver on The Simpsons. My name is Artu, and I like to get blattoed.
I think you got to
be. Hey, little Bert, dude.
I think in order to manage it, you either have to be like stern.
Right.
And like show no fear, or you have to be like Otto.
Right. Just be everyone's best friend.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in the middle is where you get like taken advantage of and stuff. Right. And also like, you know, kids that act a fool.
I'm sure there are some people who run a really strict ship or bus. They run a really strict bus.
My bus driver was like that.
Yeah. You have to, right? You got a bunch of hellions that are like, going crazy back there.
I can still visualize her. She scared me. She also had like the feather. It was the 80s/early 90s, I guess, really. But her hair was like feathered in the front, kind of.
That was Heather Locklear, that era anyways, where that became famous in the 70s, and it carried into the 80s. And then some people carried the torch into the 90s. Some people are still doing it 20 years after the 90s. Yeah,
some people still doing it.
You know, it's a cool look.
It'll come back around. Like everything else, like fashion. You think it's out and then it comes back around. But anyway, she was terrifying. And she would look up into the big rearview mirror and she knew our names, obviously.
God forbid her gaze landed on you.
Yeah, and she'd just be like, you know, Katie, you don't sit down. You're going to have to come to the front. And so at the next stop, she'd make you sit right behind her. And she'd always be like, I never got in trouble, but other people would. I was a good kid. You guys know that. I sat at the front anyway.
Did you take notes for the bus driver, like about what other kids were doing? Were you a snitch?
No. Why would I do that?
I'm just curious.
I was too busy sniffing all the different lip smackers. Remember I was telling you guys about me and Jamie's collection of chapsticks? Too busy enjoying that and playing with the smelly markers and all sorts of stuff we probably weren't supposed to do. But wasn't causing trouble per se, but then she'd make you sit behind her in that one seat that was empty on purpose. And then she'd be like, move a muscle. I dare you. Like she would just like threat, like not threaten with anything specific, but just like, I double dog dare you.
Right.
And kids, you get scared.
Well, yeah.
And then if you got in trouble, you had to stay on the bus while everybody else got off. And I don't know what happened if you got like written up.
Stay on the bus until the next day.
No, it was like everybody got off. And I think they got reprimanded.
Oh, yeah.
Like I think the principal would come out or something. Because, you know, it's like you're in school technically when you get on the bus. You have to abide by the rules. You got to follow the rules. I'm still a rule follower. I don't like to step out of line. I don't like to get in trouble.
Yeah, I trust
gives that me anxiety.
That's a good path through life. You know?
Sean wasn't the opposite. Your dad was even more the opposite.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, sorry, Tina. She says, hope all is well. Tina from Delaware. Okay.
Delaware or Della there, you know?
Delaware. Okay, Tom has sent in a condensed version, said sorry for the rambling on the other one, so he told me to replace one with this one.
Okay.
We have a shorter version, not 12 minutes, do not fret, from Tom.
Oh. I tell you, I rambled. Hello, Katie and Sean. It's Tom here. I tell you, I rambled on for damn near 12 minutes in that recording yesterday. I couldn't believe that. I just noticed it a little while ago, and I said, I better do them better than that. I better make a condensed version of all them funny stories from yesterday. But anyway, Sean, that moment you had with the governator there, that was one of them moments in life where you said to yourself, by God, I've arrived.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of them myself. One of them happened years ago. Had to give this presentation to our board of directors on safety. Ooh. And one of the guys on our board was informally known in circles as the godfather of modern coal mining safety. And
oh, wow.
About three sentences into my presentation, he looked over and smiled at me. And I said, well, tag on. Couldn't get a bigger compliment than that.
Isn't it funny how small things like that can really change your whole outlook? I was just talking with my neighbor, Karen, because we're doing the Artist's Way together. And part of the homework, I think it was week one or week two, I forget, was to identify the people in your life who maybe told you that you couldn't do something, like you're no good at drawing or music or blah, 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 or someone said you were good. And so you're supposed to try to find these like naysayers and these supporters. And I had a hard time. I didn't really have any naysayers, which I'm thankful for. And she didn't really either. And we were talking about how her children, because she has kids, have been affected positively or negatively by teachers. Mm. And one of her friends, even recently, who wanted to start a podcast, was told by her boss. So she brought it up at work to make sure it wasn't a conflict. Like, hey, if I put this out there, you know, because work's different now, right? And you need to tell people. And they said, as long as you don't mention anything, you know, you're fine. But instead of just leaving it at that, like, as long as you don't mention anything about the job, you're fine. Her boss went as far as to say, I don't think you really have what it takes to be a podcaster.
And then underneath your breath, you say, I really don't think you have it, what it takes to be a boss.
Right. And also,
what was
who
that?
The nothing? Fuck are you? I know. So anyway, Karen was like, she's doing it anyway. Don't you worry. She's creating that podcast. But we were both hoping that it's like a huge success and that like she gets to quit her job and that boss gets to eat shit. Because why would you say something like that to someone?
You know, some people don't understand the power of their words, maybe, you know, but
I just think that's it's fine to not understand that, like, me saying like that, him get like Tom getting that smile made it. Oh, it's just small stuff like that. It doesn't hurt you at all just to be supportive of people. Will it turn out to be a big deal? I don't know, but they should be able to try and we should all support that. Anyway, sorry, Tom. Back to the letter.
Also, the first time I benched over 600 pounds.
Holy moly.
There were a couple of bikers from New York that approached me and asked what I was taking. And my answer was hard work pills, boys. I don't mess around with testosterone, so.
I'm taking names and kicking ass.
Right? Damn straight.
600 pounds. I remember the first time I benched 600 pounds.
Me too.
It's all that adrenaline.
Running on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Arrived number two right there. Also, just talk a little bit about those boys coming up to hunt. I'm one of those guys, I guess I do real well with kids that are approximately middle school age. I don't know why, but I've always liked being around them. They're funny. And the one boy come up last year.
That's a gift to actually be good with middle school children.
Right.
That's like the worst time in our lives. Tommy, have a gift. Don't tell anybody. They'll bring all their teenagers over.
They're looking for guidance, you know? Mm-hmm. So you set up parameters and what is acceptable, what isn't acceptable.
Yeah.
And they're
like,
fine.
I guess it's like tweens that age. Cause that would be what I went into high school at 15. So it'd be like what, 12 to 14 ish. Yeah. That's a gift, Tom. Don't let it out to too many people. Cause people will be calling.
You have to focus their attention a little bit and also let them cut loose. Like, you don't get mad when they're joking around, but mm-hmm. you know, we all have a goal that we're working towards. And that typically works well so for young boys anyways.
I would say you've had your nephews and stuff. And I guess it depends on the kid too. Because like our nephew Noah was always so funny. He wanted to be so adult, like be in adult conversations when he was like, since he was 10 or even 8 when I first met him. So he was so easy to like connect with and chitty chat because he wanted to be part of that conversation.
And it helps if you're, you know, dealing with sports, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a mission And yeah. the kids are like, okay, even if I get scatterbrained or I'm goofing off, you can kind of rein them back in. But if you let little boys have nothing to do,
yeah.
then it's like pure chaos.
What is it they say? Idle hands are the devil's something?
Yes. Workshop.
Workshop, yeah.
Devil's work.
But I do agree that like if you give them...
The devil's workshop is Build-A-Bear. That's
the devil's workshop. It's the devil. Oh my God. I only did that once. And it was kind of fun. But
then my job is done.
No. But I do agree, kids like to learn things. And if you have like a specialty, like Tom's teaching them how to hunt.
Right.
Then they're like, oh, okay. You know, and they can... I think that's why having kids be in any kind of organized thing is good for them. Okay, sorry, Tom. Back to the letter.
Another one was a little too young, but had one of those moments. You know, you can't get it right every time in life, and I have one of those. So.
I agree.
Boy asked if we could watch National Lampoon Summer Vacation, and his dad, who's my best buddy, said, that one all right for a boy to watch, Tom? I said, yeah, there's maybe one reference in there that's not appropriate, but other than that, I think we'll be okay. Little did I know, when you stream something to the TV, you get the unedited version. So,
oh.
Oh boy, man, he got to see Beverly D'Angelo in the shower.
Oh, I forgot. We watched recently Police Academy.
Right.
The 80s movies and the nudity.
Yes.
What? And not that I'm like, okay, nude, whatever, nudity. But I forgot. The amount of topless women is just so not necessary for the storyline. And I was like, oh my God, it didn't even occur to me.
I thought it was very necessary for the storyline.
Of course. Every 13-year-old boy.
Oh, I understand the movie so much better now.
This shower scene is really important to the whole.
It's a different era. Gratuity. The 80s were kind of an era of excess.
Yeah.
And
the band excess.
Right. In excess. Yeah.
Oh, in excess. I thought it was just excess. I don't know. I was born early 80s, so I don't even remember the 80s. But the films, anyway, yeah. I just thought it was funny and I'd forgotten Tom. So, but he got his fill. He got his 80s fill.
His head hit that leather couch with eyes as wide as flying saucers, sure. Wearing nothing but a smile.
I feel like that's like a coming of age kind of thing too. Like, I remember my brother really liking the film Weird Science. And I think it's because it had a nude scene in it.
Oh, Weird Science is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think it's the boy thing. I don't really think it's actually a good film. I'm just putting that out there. I'm just going to leave it where it is.
I tell you, I had a moment like that as a kid. I think all of us figured out we like girls by seeing a Playboy. But one of Dad's buddies got them and they got a little...
Or... If you're my brother, like the Sears catalog, got to scrape the bottom of the barrel there.
I mean, lovely models, you know?
You know, I don't think Victoria's Secret was out like in the way that it is now. I think we just got the Sears catalog and Spiegel. We got that sometimes, which always nowadays makes me want to go Spiegel. It's like a bad character on what film, like Lord of the Rings or something.
Oh, Smeagol?
Like Smeagol, yeah.
Yeah.
What was your first magazine that you remember trying to steal? Or did you find your dad's Playboy
TV or something? Guide, you know?
TV Guide. Really scraping the bottom.
Reader's Digest. Some of those stories I really get hot and bothered. You
it's
know?
So funny though, because as a woman, I don't think that was ever. I mean, I guess there's like Teen Bop and you have like crushes, but there's no part of me at that age that ever remembers at all wanting to see them naked at all. It was more like I just need their face in a poster in my room.
Mm.
Did your sister have that?
Oh yeah. What were those magazines? Tiger Beat or Teen Beat? And yeah, there was always like Wham.
Tiger Beat. Oh yeah, she loved Wham.
Yeah, for a moment, Wham was a big deal for her. Duran Duran, Michael J. Fox.
You know? Michael J. Oh, funny. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in all those magazines when he was doing Back to the Future movies. You know, he's a teen heartthrob of some sort.
Funny.
Yeah.
Oh, too cute. Okay, sorry, Tom. Back to the letter.
Liquor it up, and Tom said to Dad, "Hey, you mind if I show him this?" My dad was just in one of those I don't give a damn moods. And
oh, the Playboys.
Don showed me a picture of a girl. There wasn't much to see, but Dad said to him, "Damn it, Don. Shouldn't have done that. He's going to be knocking on your door every day now."
Yeah. You any one of those magazines?
Sneaking in when you're gone.
Oh, those were the days when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Last thing here, the girl on the podcast yesterday wanted to hear stories about stuff that happened getting in trouble growing up, and I had a very memorable experience. The ladies that taught at my elementary school had pretty antiquated views about child rearing, some of them, and there were felony punishments.
Wasn't he in Catholic school? I think, Tom, were you in Catholic school?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. Let us know.
For misdemeanors, that might be getting popped with a paddle or perhaps sounds getting like a it. Note called a pink slip maybe. Sent home that had a frowny face on it. One of those emoticons in text messages resembles that frowny face very much. I can remember it plain as day, but...
Do you guys remember Mr. Yuck? Did we already talk about this?
Was that the sticker that you would put on, yeah. on things?
It was like an emoji before emojis, and he'd have his tongue out.
Right.
Like that. And it was green. And you would put them on things so your kids wouldn't eat it. They'd know it was like going to kill them.
Show them the sticker first.
I wonder how effective Mr. Yuck was.
Probably saved a lot of kids' lives.
I'd assume so. I just remember that my mom had them on all the cleaning supplies and on medicines and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, because oftentimes marketing packaging is vibrant in color. Yeah,
could have flowers on it. It's attractive, right?
You're trying to attract someone to take it off the shelf.
I mean, well, I ate Crisco with a handful because I thought it was chocolate chip cookie dough because it had chocolate chip cookies on
it. I ate raw potatoes. That was my jam.
Is that because of their marketing blow?
Yeah.
Nothing like biting into it.
But I would do that. You could find me underneath the sink or in the cabinet munching like dirt on me and munching on potato. If I went missing, that's usually where I was.
Did you grow up on a farm?
No, but I...
Were you hungry a lot?
No, I think it's just I really potatoes.
Have the love of potatoes.
My love of potatoes is deep. You know this. You've seen me with potatoes, anything, french fries, mashed potatoes, mm-hmm. you know.
Scallop potatoes.
You name it. Whipped, yeah. mashed, blended, chunky, smooth, fried, baked.
Potato bread.
Barbecued.
Oh yeah, barbecue. Filled, potato wedges, JoJo's, yeah. tots.
Potato skins.
Mm. We could go on.
Chips. Potato chips. I know. Pringles, Lay's, Fritos. No, that's corn. Yeah.
Yeah. List goes on and on. Okay.
I was in an assembly one day, and I was a nervous kid. I didn't like to sit still for long, and I started chewing on my blue turtleneck. And
oh, funny.
Teacher called me to come over. And
you didn't have kids do that? Oh, I don't know if it was my brother or one of my cousins. They chewed all the edges of their... It's just an easy thing to do.
Hmm.
Oh, funny. Funny, Tom. I haven't thought about that in forever. I don't know if I did that. My mom would have to remind me, but I don't remember it. But I remember I think it was my brother or one of my cousins would do it.
I was scared to death. I couldn't move. Here she started toward me and took me over to the corner and said, "You know what? I'm so mad at you, I could just take you back to the classroom right now."
Uh-oh.
Well, I didn't know what to think. Well, anyway, we got back to the classroom, and she said something along the lines of, "Tom, I ain't too happy with how you behaved in that assembly, and think I'm going to send home a pink slip."
Uh-oh.
Well, I was struck dumb. I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, about 30 minutes later, I towed the line for, you know.
I love the tippy taps on the dog. But it's interesting how teachers do that. So you not only get in trouble at school, but then you get in trouble at home. You know, that you like double dip. They do that to you on purpose, I think. Double down on the punishment. But I always think, so it's funny to me how unnatural school is for little kids. I mean, I don't know how old Tom was at this point, but kindergarten up until maybe middle school, it's not normal for us to sit still for like hours at a time. Like we're meant to move. Kids want to move. They want to groove. They want to do things. They're bored. What are you doing? Blah, blah, yeah. blah. You
know? Irvine in California, Irvine public school systems. Uh-huh. I believe that they have one alternative school where you basically, you're not on a farm, but everything's outdoors for the mm-hmm. most part because it's nice weather. And so you're learning while you're, you know, doing outdoorsy activity.
Well, you can learn math outside.
Yeah. Like, and I think it was really good for, you know, it was an alternative school. They started, I think, in the 70s or something, mm-hmm. but kids were really they excelled because they were learning a lot quicker because they were discharging that or dissipating that energy, that nervous Both, energy. Yeah, you can't ask little boys to sit still in class.
Or little girls. It's just not natural. We're supposed to be moving. We're
moving and grooving and
learning.
We're
naturally very active. So it's like, I don't know why they do that to kids. And then they're like, oh, you can't sit still. You have ADHD. Yeah. You know, I'm wondering.
Give him drugs. So he'll sit still.
Maybe Tom will tell us here, but I wonder if he got told that at a young age too. Right. He said, I couldn't sit still for the life of me. Maybe
the school system is broken or not up. I mean, when was the last time they changed the way we learn? You know,
never.
What has been going on since the Little House in the Prairie?
Since forever.
Yeah.
Since dirt floor land.
Right. Little House in the Prairie. Mm-hmm. Go to the schoolhouse. Carry your book satchel.
I know.
Go to the church.
And then they're on the chalkboard, you know.
Right.
It's not natural.
No.
Not natural. Okay, sorry, Tom. I keep interrupting you.
Put all the kids on treadmills with goggles on. And they learn that way.
I just have to share it. There's this funny meme that keeps popping up in my Instagram, like, discovery page. And it's so bad, but it's funny. It was like, I forget, 1900s, 1920s or whatever. They're like, they banned children from working in the mines. Today, children's favorite video game is Minecraft. The children long for the mines.
Oh, jeez.
It's a good joke.
It is.
Not serious, but it's a good joke. But kids are made to be active. I also wonder what the effects of like video games and inactivity in children will be. I mean, aside from obviously like the physicality of it, like they might be overweight or have diabetes or have other ailments or something. But other than that, I feel like we're made to be in motion in some form. And I think it's healthy for us to stay in motion and in some form. And I worry about the ripple effects of technology and the fact that most of our jobs are sedentary these days. You know, anyway, sorry, I'm rambling. Back to Tom.
Next half hour or so. And she said, well, thank you for improving your behavior. And said to her, well, if I'm good the rest of the day, can you not send that note home? Which I thought was pretty fair. But she said, well, it's too late for you, buddy. I've already written the note.
As if she had to send it.
And I'm just about to burst into tears. I look at the girl across from me and she's has this horrified look on her face. Went over to a couple of my friends' houses to play after that. And I didn't get the note from her. I figured, this was just a mind game. And here my mom come to pick me up. And I had drawn a turkey. It was around Thanksgiving. I wanted to show her the turkey. Well, go to open up my papers. And guess what's in the middle of those papers? A little frowny face. She got me. I said, damn it. And I rolled up that note and threw it under a truck, and little brother was there. Little bastard said to mom, mom.
He ratted mom you out.
Rolled up a piece of pink paper and threw it under that truck. God, did you get a pink slip? Well, I nodded my head. And
oh, yeah.
She went over and got it. And
you're like,
dad come up.
Oh, that. Oops.
Yeah.
Your brother
was
such a...
It's like a Christmas story.
It is. Yeah. Your brother ratted you out. What a turkey.
Home from work and we were eating dinner and I was awaiting my fate. Well, my brother blurted out what I had gotten and here he just kind of dismissed what had happened. And he gave me a talking to afterwards. Wasn't nearly as bad as I thought, but didn't want to face the teacher the next day, but she brought me over to her desk and said, it's okay, Tom. But anyway, those were the days at good old Whitethorn School. Tom's going to sign off here. Virginia correspondence, always happy to see you.
Thanks, Tom. I love the tippy taps. Yeah, they really scare you in school.
Well, I think that's good. Mm-hmm. I think they want to make sure that you're behaving. So and they have to leverage what they can. You don't want to send home a piece of pink paper.
I know.
The
and the fact
face.
That they give it to you to give to your parents,
right.
I would have never brought that home. Although I never really got in trouble. Mm-hmm. I was a very good rule follower. Although I remember, I think I've told this story, my friend Sarah and I got caught cheating on a math test together. We'd kind of planned it. We were having trouble. And I understood part of one and she understood part of the other. And we're like,
teamwork.
We got this. Teamwork makes the dream.
Yes, we cheated. But we also learned a lesson about teamwork. So, you
but
know,
he,
can we just call it a wash?
The teacher was actually really nice. He was like, I'm going to make you retake it separately. And I'm going to dock 10 points. And I won't tell your parents. But don't do it again.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, we weren't bad kids. And essentially, we both cried. And we were like, but it was so hard. And I don't understand. And we were in, and it's funny because we were older. Like, this was high school.
Oh.
Like, we were in calculus, like,
this
early.
This could have ruined your whole collegiate
I don't think so.
Trajectory.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I wasn't a mathematician. I didn't need AP calculus.
Yeah. But I mean, that could follow you around, mm-hmm. that stink of being a cheater.
It could have. A stink. The cheater stink.
The cheater stank.
Okay.
Stanks like cheaters in here.
Oh, my God. Okay. Now, we have a letter from Caitlin.
Okay.
And I think it's our last of the Happy New Year letters. Remember, we're catching up.
Okay.
It's just entitled Happy New Year. Here we are in March. My apologies.
I mean, it is the new year. Mm-hmm. We're in March, so.
So. It says, Dear Sean, Katie, and fellow pod people. I actually really like that term.
We are pod people.
We are the pod people. I don't know why I went into robot. That was just what my brain did. Happy New Year. Hope you had a nice, pleasant, recharging holiday and are ready to face the new year. Recently, I was thinking to myself that only now in March do I feel like it's the new year.
Yeah.
It took me a little while. I had to warm up to it. I was doing my stretches. I was thinking about it, preparing myself.
I think that's where spring is. It makes you feel like, you know,
yeah, rebirth.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to get and out of the
fall
winter.
Is, you know, the
fall is so heavy.
Yeah, fall is gorgeous. I love it.
At the beginning when it's just crisp.
Yeah.
But then the ice storm in the trees, no thanks.
That was winter. It was a tough 2 weeks in Texas.
It was. Okay, so anyway, this is just a quick letter to submit my application. I've just finished episode number 75, and since we're planning a new nation, I would like to apply for National Whiskey Sommelier. You can come over also, teach us your ways. What are my qualifications, you might ask?
I am asking.
Well, my sense...
not for a friend either. I'm asking for us.
Well, my sense of taste and smell and sense of smell are kind of limited, but I can make up for it with enthusiasm. I like, hey, A for effort every time. A bit of whiskey knowledge gleaned from books, YouTube, whiskey channels, and my own bit of exploring. Not to mention, I'm 100% willing to do the dirty work.
Oh, yes, yes.
And try out those whiskeys to make sure we have nothing but the best quality available, both for our internal consumption and to woo foreign dignitaries.
It's important.
Very important. They make a good point. Since I already have an idea of what type of whiskey has what types of smells and tastes, I can fake my way through any conversation. This is amazing. I hope you will consider me for the position. I think they've got it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think enthusiasm beats a lot of things these days, because even if you were like really, really, you are like technically were a whiskey sommelier, if you weren't excited about it, people aren't going to buy what you're selling.
That's true.
And she's going to woo those dignitaries, I think. Okay. Also, regarding Sean playing around near the nuclear power plant.
Yes.
That's why he has a tail. You have nothing to worry about. I was born 2 years after the Chernobyl accident and have no problems. I have two arms, two legs, and my tentacles are a healthy shade of purple. Oh, I love
these
it.
These
so
gills
much.
Make it great to go swimming too. I mean, I'm really.
Oh my goodness. This is too funny. I wish everyone a happy new year filled with activities, people, and feelings that will nurture and help you. It says, Chutulu blessings upon all. Maybe that's a Russian phrase. I don't know. C-T-H-U-L-H-U.
I feel like I know this word.
Chutulu. Yes, I'll have to look that up. But I say you got the job.
Yeah, sold. Absolutely.
Caitlin, or Catalin. I'm pronouncing things wrong, and I'm so sorry. Catalin.
You're hired.
My bad, but Catalin, you got the
job.
But
send over some recommendations. Mm-hmm. My gripe about whiskey, I enjoy it, by the way. Yep. I like scotches, whiskeys, Irish whiskey, Canadian whiskey, American whiskey. But my gripe is the price point makes it quite inaccessible oftentimes.
Yep.
You know, you're like, oh, do I really want to spend $12 for a little thing? You know,
or like $45 for like a bottle, you know, like
that's
you feel like,
cheap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whiskeys can be like hundreds crazy. And hundreds.
Well,
yeah.
They're aged. It's kind of like cheese. It can be expensive because it takes years of aging and stuff like that to get it, you know, just right. So it's more expensive because it takes them years to create one. Do you know what I mean?
Do we have a cheesemonger? In our audience? Is there somebody who knows a lot about cheese?
I don't know.
I'm an amateur, but I love
it. There's a girl
it.
On TikTok that's her job, and she just shows herself opening the big wheels and tasting it and being like, yes. And then she tells you what it is and why we call it what it is and where it came from and monks make it or whatever. It's amazing. And
I like
highly
the tool
recommend.
They use where they push into the cheese
little,
wheel.
That's only for hard cheeses, I learned through our girl, the cheesemonger.
I guess with soft cheeses, it would introduce bacteria. Mm-hmm. So you can't.
Soft cheeses, once they're cut open, they're open. You can't let them
okay.
sit.
Okay. But a hard cheese, it's very difficult for the oxygen to make its way through. So
bacteria, she said sometimes they'll even put wax over that hole. Mm. So yeah.
I love cheese. Mm-hmm. So I would love to do a cheese trip.
Ooh.
Cheese and whiskeys of the world.
I don't know where we'd do both because those are two different areas, really. Cheese, I think of like France.
Wisconsin.
Or maybe Spanish cheese is a thing?
Oh, yeah. So, I think every culture in the world makes cheese.
Oh, I'd assume so. I'm just saying like the most varietals, for the most bang for our buck, per se.
Europe, I would assume, has general.
Wine and cheese. We could get in the same area, maybe. I don't know about whiskeys. I haven't heard anything about, you know, the Spanish or Italian whiskeys. It's more like, you know.
True.
Kentucky, Scotland. Those are the whiskey places.
Right. Whiskey, I think, business. Germany has a whiskey trail now, too. Yeah.
They're really into whiskey in Japan, aren't they? Is it Japan or China or both?
I think globally it's really taken off.
Yeah,
darker spirits and whatnot. But I think a lot of American distillers, the early ones that everyone holds in such, like, I think that those are Germanic people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, probably. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like Dickel, I think, is a...
What?
Dickel. It's a brand.
They should have rethought that. Yeah. It's just a bad name.
Pappy Van Winkle. You know, Van sounds Dutch or German.
It does. Van sounds like
German. Van Winkle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Where's Rip Van Winkle from? Once we know that.
Hollywood.
He's from Hollywood, baby.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we have to wrap things up.
I have other fish to fry.
Yep.
So to speak. Send in your letters, like I said at the beginning, otdmpod@gmail.com. We love y'all. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you.
To another amazing year.
All right.
See you guys
26
next time.
And holding.
Bye.
Bye.